Daniel. And in Amos chapter 5. Just notice how Amos presents these words. And really, it was a lament for Israel. Notice some of the things that he said here. In chapter 5 of Amos, in verse 4. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, this is the point, seek me and live. And in verse 6, seek the Lord and live. And verse 14, for it is an evil time. We couldn't say amen to that in our time. But it says, seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts, or Lord God of armies, will be with you, as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gates, that maybe that the Lord God of Israel will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. We can make application of those words, I believe, to the days in which we are living. So really, in effect, it will help us to prepare to seek God and live. Now, meeting God can be experienced, I believe, on different levels here. And one of the levels is prayer. Prayer is so important in our lives that I feel sometimes it's neglected. And something perhaps we need to get to grips with even more. We have an interesting example in the case of Jacob back in Genesis 31, where God had said to him that he needed to return to his homeland. And so he did. And on his way, realizing that God had said that I'll be with you, realizing also that his brother Esau was on the way to meet him, and he was wondering what was going to happen, knowing that in previous times Esau would kill him if ever he met him. Well, it wasn't the case this time. It seems that Esau had mellowed quite a bit. So if God had said he was going to be with him, why was there any need for him to worry? Well, we know in Genesis 32, I think it is, that it says he wrestled with an angel, or wrestled with God, and his name was changed from Jacob, which means deceitful and usurper. Go back in his early days, and you can see that with his family and with his brother, and how he was deceitful at that particular time and usurped Esau's privilege of being the firstborn. His name became Israel, which we know, which means a prince with God. Therefore, don't you think that this was the new man going onward? Because we know that he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, about men of faith. So no doubt his faith had grown quite considerably. But it says in Hosea, concerning this development that he had with God, or with the angel, as Hosea clearly shows, that he had power with God, yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. It says, he wept and made supplication unto him. Him's in the capital H, so that would be Yahweh himself. What does supplication mean? It clearly means prayer. So here he was wrestling. And this is what prayer is all about sometimes, I think. The need to wrestle with our God, if you like, in the name of Jesus, for things which we need to accomplish in our own lives, in helping us to prepare to meet our God. Our readings for today in the book of Jeremiah are interesting, especially the chapter 9 that we read just now. Just to look at a few verses there in Jeremiah chapter 9. And in verse 12 onwards, just look at a few verses here if we can. It says, chapter 9 and verse 12, who is the wise man who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness, so that no one can pass through? And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them. Remember, if I may say, that when they were given the law, back there in the time of Moses, when all those laws that came down, the nation of Israel said, what the Lord has said, we will do. And did they ever? By and large, it seems that they didn't. And here's an example here. My law, which I set before them, have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it. Notice it says in verse 14, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, and after the bells which their fathers taught them. Therefore, says the Lord of the hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. And I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. Now, many people think that Jeremiah was a prophet of doom. I suppose he was in some regards, but he was more than that, wasn't he? He was a prophet of hope. God's arm is not short that it cannot save. Clearly, the opportunity was always there for them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, God says. All they had to do was to take the responsibility on themselves, not only as a nation, but as individuals, to turn to God and be prepared to meet him. Because if they were prepared to do that, then God would relent as he did, because he's that kind of God, a loving, merciful God, and he would always forgive. I shall never forget those words, really. It's so much in Jeremiah. If you notice there, it says in that verse 24, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. How do we get to know God? Jesus tells us in John 17:3, where it says, to make sure I get this correct, I'll just read it to you. It says there, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. In one translation, it says, this means everlasting life. They're taking in knowledge of you, and the only true God, and the one whom you have sent forth, Jesus Christ. Not knowledge for knowledge's sake, but knowledge to know and understand what God requires of us. And it's even more than that. Because in that verse there it says, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. So when you ask the question, if somebody says, what is true religion? You would turn to James chapter 1 and verse 27. That true religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their tribulation. What a privilege we have to be able to do these things. Exercising those attributes and qualities that God has clearly shown us. And that Jesus did. Showed it in a most marvelous way because he's left steps for us to follow. Because he said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus was doing exactly what his heavenly Father would do. You're still in Jeremiah there. Just look at chapter 7 a minute. And verse 5 to 7. It's no good trusting in lying words of others, but we trust in what the Lord says to us. In verse 5, if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I give to your fathers forever and ever. What marvellous words they are. Preparation of God to be able to forgive all these things. And look at verse 23. But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. You can go on through all the book of Jeremiah. It's a tremendous book to give us an example of the way that we walk in this day and age. I mentioned just now about prayer, and there's no doubt about it that prayer changes things. I've got a little poem here, if I may read it to you. It says, prayer changes things. Prayer is the mightiest weapon we can find. Prayer makes us patient, understanding, kind, helps to right decisions, clears the mind. Prayer changes things. So what about today in this 21st century? Certainly judgments in the past have given us ideas of what God intends to do to those who go astray from his ways. So people's behaviour do need to change, indeed, as it does for all of us, for me anyway. Change has to come each and every day. We're being renewed every day, as the scripture tells us, in the reading of the Word of God. The Spirit Word that helps us to go forward in the most marvellous of ways. But there are other lessons that we can learn here. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21. It's well known to us. We often use it as a basis for showing where we are in the stream of time. And in Luke chapter 21, because you've got Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 as a basis for the end times, if you like. But here in verses 34 to 36, my subheading here says, the importance of watching. But take heed to yourself, in verse 34 it says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Tremendous words, I believe. Big lessons indeed for us to consider. And do we not pray that we may stand in that day when the Lord Jesus returns? Of course we do. This is all part and parcel of the earnestness in our lives to prepare to meet our God. And so urgency, I believe, is essential. I'm also reminded what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, where he made mention here in verse 12. Again, dealing with prayer. In fact, the holistic thing, again, my subheading from verse 1 tells us, living sacrifices to God. Are we a living sacrifice? Am I a living sacrifice? I need to ask myself. But in verse 12 it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, notice, continuing steadfastly in prayer. So prayer is certainly high up there on the list of preparing to meet our God. In verse 2 I found interesting because I think most of us are aware of it from the Phillips translation. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from the within. And how does that happen? By the daily reading of the Word of God. Day by day, we're being fed upon the food that is necessary for us. Well, we've looked at some points this morning. The major one, of course, is prayer and the need to have a plan of action, if you like. Meeting together like this, week by week, is of an encouragement to us. The things that we may have gone through each and every day and how you've handled the situation. Perhaps it's an experience that you can relate one to another. This is all helping us to grow. And it's important, of course, that we do so. And why is this? Because the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that all those things that went befalling them, the nation of Israel, are an example to us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And do we not look forward to that time when that kingdom will come. And so things today can change us by this book that we hold in our hands, to become the new man or the new woman. We're going to remember the Lord Jesus Christ now in the emblems. It's a privilege that we have week by week. Never let us neglect this, brothers and sisters. But we remember the Lord Jesus himself. He too prepared to meet his God, because he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." So I'm thinking about these things and of the privilege that we are now going to be able to have to partake. Let us then continue to prepare to meet our God.
Our brother has now focused our minds to consider the emblems before us. And truly we do remember that, as it was said, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." I would ask Brother Jeff, please, to give thanks for the bread.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the life of our Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Lord, that he heard thy voice and obeyed thy voice. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, that he did thy will. And we thank thee, Lord, that he willingly laid down his life, that he may be that sacrifice which taketh away the sin of the world. And so through his obedience, O Lord, we thank thee that we have forgiveness. And we pray that as we share this bread one with the other, that we with thankful hearts will now resolve to listen unto his voice and to obey. Bless us and hear us, for Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Amen.